Hey, I'm glad to be back. Thanks for being here. This is going to be a great night. I'm super excited. And thank you to Phil for filling in for me last week. I think he did a great job. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, he did a great job. It was awesome. We've got a couple of really awesome things going on tonight. And by a couple, I mean we have a couple of baptisms tonight. Yeah. Super excited about that. Travis and Adam will both be getting baptized after Encounter back at the campus house. And so just want you guys to please make sure that you afterwards just follow the crowd. We don't take too long. It won't take up your whole night, but I think you'll be glad that you did. Okay? So I just want to let you know that's happening. And those are the kind of things that are happening that we want to celebrate and be giving to. And that's why we have these KFC buckets. And so let's go ahead and we'll start passing those buckets around. Tonight... tonight is really, I got an incredibly short message, very short, but I have a fairly long intro, all right? Someone's like, oh, wow. And so what we're going to do is we're going to spend time tonight, me just going through this intro for about 15 minutes and setting up, I think, a stage for us to respond to the Lord. And we're going to sing again. We're going to have a few more songs of worship, and then I'm going to give my short message at the end tonight. So that's kind of where we're going, in case you're wondering, hey, I thought we already talked. What's going on? What's this? That's what's happening, all right? Why not here? That was the words that were in my head 21 years ago. I was sitting in my office, 26 years old. I'm the new campus minister at Illinois State University. And I had just gotten off of a 2-year run where I was in Europe, I was in Russia, I had spent some time in China, and a year in the Philippines. And then I found myself in Normal, Illinois. And I'm sitting in my office, and my first couple weeks on the job were pretty awful. Somebody accused me of firing them when I didn't, and the board came in and said, you can't fire people, and I said, I didn't, and they said, she said you did, and that was bad. I didn't have anyone in town that was my friend. I felt like this thing that blew up in my face was probably going to cause me to maybe have to leave because I couldn't find any financial support. I was sitting in the office and there was no staff. And in those days, there was really no students. And I remember looking across the street and asking myself the question, is this my place? And as I was sitting there and I was praying, I looked out and I saw, this is going to sound weird to some of you, I know, but I saw a car with a bumper sticker. It said Illinois State. And I thought, somebody knows they're going to be here a while. That guy. And that guy who had that bumper sticker made me feel like I want to be like him. I want to know this is my place. And as I was staring at that bumper sticker, I don't know how else to tell you what happened other than I heard a voice from God. Now, it wasn't audible. It really wasn't something I actually audibly heard like you're hearing me. But it was so crystal clear that the only way I can truly explain it to you is that I heard it. And it was this question in my head from the Lord, why not here? Why not here? You could be in the Philippines, you could be in China, you can be in Hungary, you can be in all these different places, you could be back in Michigan, I had opportunity in Kentucky. And I was sitting here wondering if I'd made a mistake. And God said, why not here? Now, let me tell you, when you hear the words, why not here from the Lord, this was not a pep talk. This was a call to action, and it was a call to sacrifice, and I knew that. And I knew that when he asked me to be here, I knew that it was going to cost me something. I knew that it was probably going to cost me hundreds of sleepless nights, close to thousands of counseling sessions with students, difficult things that I knew I couldn't handle myself, that were going to be hard things to hear about what people were going through, and I knew that there wasn't going to be much money in it. I knew that there was a big sacrifice. So when I heard the words, why not here, I knew it was a big calling, and I knew what was in for me. I knew it was in store. I was not surprised. It was going to be hard, and it's been hard. I'm not the only person that's heard that voice from God. As a matter of fact, I'm not even the first person here that's heard that voice from God. There is a woman who was a student here in 1967. Her name's Jeannie. And Jeannie was coming to school here, and she was going to church, and she kind of wondered, why isn't there something happening on ISU's campus? And something, a very similar kind of thing happened to her, where this voice came to her and asked the same question, hey, Jeannie, why not here? She didn't know what to do with that, so she went to her tiny little church, one of the smallest churches in town over on Emerson Street. It was a little church called Eastview Christian Church. And she went to her Sunday school teacher. And his Sunday school teacher, he said, why not start a campus ministry? She said, I don't know the first thing about it. He says, well, let's start raising some money. So they went to the bigger churches in the community. They went to Downs and they went to Leroy. And they raised some money. And they got the first campus minister. And he stayed here for a couple of years. And that is how Encounter started. A few years later, they hired a guy named Jim Simpkins. And he heard a voice in his head, why not here? And he made this his home for 22 years. And Jim, while he was here, ended up talking to a bunch of people that said, this little house that we're meeting here on the corner of Normal and Locust, and the driveway goes out to Normal Street, and that's why the address is Normal Avenue. Well, let's tear that down. Let's build another place called the Campus House. And the driveway now goes out to Locust, but it's still 300 Normal Avenue. That is how we got our campus house. And so I come along, and I'm sitting in this campus house. It's all paid for. And I'm just sitting in the remnants of what God had already done. He had already spoken to a number of people before me. He had already laid the groundwork for this place to be what it is today. And I asked the question in that moment, God, can I do more here for the kingdom, for the world, than if I actually go on the mission field? Because I was really feeling guilty, like maybe I need to go to the Philippines. Maybe I need to go to Hungary and look at all the mission trips that this place sends now. Look at the amount of people that are going to be affected by the good news of the gospel, because we have trips to the Philippines and to Poland, and last year to Kenya and to Cambodia. It's amazing. I was here for a while, and things got kind of lonely, and things were kind of hard by myself, and to be honest with you, I went through a real depression because I attached myself to you, to students, and I made you my partners, but you guys always leave. That's just kind of the nature of what you do, isn't it? It's what you're supposed to do. And God made it clear that I needed a partner, and so I started hanging out with some people at some different retreats and some different conferences and two of the people that just seemed to really hit it off with me well, and we always laughed a lot and joked a lot, and they were young, and they had one little kid, one little baby, Ben and Joe Miller from Eastern Illinois. And I remember going to them, meeting them in Champaign. I remember sitting at the Olive Garden with them. And it was a really weird setting because I said, I don't have much to offer you. I don't really have money. I don't know how we're going to make this work, but would you come? I'll commit myself to being faithful to you if you'd be faithful to me. And at the end of it, I was like, I feel like I'm proposing. This is really weird. And they came. And if any of you know, they don't move unless the Spirit of God talks to them. And they had a voice in their head, the same as Jeannie had a voice in her head, and Jim had a voice in his head, and I had a voice in mine. And it was the Lord saying, why not here? Why not ISU? And they answered that call, and they came. And if you guys know anything about Ben, you know he's extremely gifted in a number of different areas, and it would be no problem at all for him to pick up a six-figure job. No problem. Ben's not making six figures, but he's got six kids. And the same call to Ben was the same call I received. It's the same thing that anyone receives from the Lord. When he asks you, why not here, and you answer that call, you know it's going to be a sacrifice. You know you're going to give something up. And Ben gave something up. Joe's given something up. I'm so excited. This is the first time I've seen them go on a long vacation together. I think it's their 15-year anniversary. They're on a little cruise this week. So super excited they get to do that. They deserve it. A few years after that, there's this voice that came to Phil. And that voice wasn't from the Lord at first. It was a voice from our staff at the very end of his year. And we always laugh about it, and we talk about it, and we joke a little bit. We offered him an internship, I think it was like in May. And he was like, I've got a life, and I'm about ready to go live it. And we said, yeah, would you want to maybe do an internship here? And he gave up a more established organization at the time, and he gave up a potential career to make this his home. And that same voice from the Lord asked him, why not here? And he took it, and he stayed. And he's been here ever since. And he's one of the best outreach guys I know in the country. So excited and so proud to have him. And then Haley, and Michelle, and Molly, and Jen. All of these people had voices from the Lord. And they all said the same thing. Why not here? And they've all given something up to be here. All of them. They could all make more money somewhere else. I'm confident of that. You would be amazed at how much our staff has given up to be here. And the reason they're here is not for prestige. It's because they love you. They love this place. It's a calling from the Lord. And for those of you who haven't ever experienced that, I don't really know how to explain it to you. It's just something that's sound and solid, and you can't turn from it, and it's what they've felt, and it's what they have. And it's not unique to me. It's just what's happened along the way. And there's so many other people. Oh my goodness. Each one of these people that are married on staff, their spouses are discipling people. Their spouses are going on mission trips. Their spouses are giving up things. They're sacrificing. My wife is giving up so much, working a job she really hates so that this thing can happen. It's unbelievable how many people are sacrificing because they heard the same voice from God saying, why not here? And a lot of you, you might have just shown up this year and you think, yeah, this has just always been here. It's not always been here. This is a unique thing. It's a God story happening, and you're in the middle of it. And then we've got ministry partners like Elijah, who's working a full-time job, but he's here tonight. He's serving. He's investing in you. We've got guys like Robbie, who are an alum from this place, but God just couldn't let him go. He had to keep coming back. We're like, Robbie, no, leave. No, he keeps coming back. And he'll be preaching in a couple weeks, and you're going to love it. And he leads Clarity and Calling and all of these things because he heard a voice from God. Like he told me, he sat down, he says, hey, my wife and I, who actually happened to meet at Encounter, we're committed. God's called us to this place. We're not going anywhere. There's nothing really in it for him. There's a lot of sacrifice, though. And you want to talk about ministry partners, we got to look at Travis. Travis has put together that app that we all just lean on so heavily. He's put together all of the videos for our corner projects. He does so much with our website. It's just a behind-the-scenes dude that's super faithful. We have 7 board members. All 7 board members are giving up a lot. 6-hour meetings, planning out what we're going to do for the next year, for the next semester, understanding how we're going to take care of all of our staff. All 7 of our board members are alums from this place. They all went through it. They all love this place. They all know it. There's something in the air tonight that I just can't shake. I want to say thanks to all of them. But more importantly, I want to say thanks to the voice that spoke to all of us. The voice that's called us all to the same place. And this voice is of the Lord. He's called us. And he hasn't called us to an easy road. He's called us to something of sacrifice. And every single person that I know that I've just listed out of that list does their sacrificial life willingly, joyfully. They're excited. This is a place that I get jazzed about because everyone else is just getting jazzed about it. I cannot not mention students of old. There's a number of students of old that I specifically remember certain classes. I remember the one class that was the first class, I think, that really first owned the idea that we are not going to be about entertainment, we're going to be about investing, and we're going to be about discipling each other. And them taking that seriously and meeting with each other and living in community in a way that was very intentional and very real and very honest and hard. And then there was that other class that I remember. There was a year when we were at financial breaking point. I mean, close. The kind of financial stresses that cause a young guy like me as the young campus minister to just be like, I think I might just quit and go to Michigan before the whole thing falls apart because it's about to really fall apart. And I remember laying on my couch, and I remember praying, and I remember God having another voice moment where he was like, ask them. Because I was like, where are we going to get the money? I've been to these people and these people, and I was all these outside sources. And God was like, ask them. Ask the students. I was like, students don't have any money, God. He's like, ask them. And so we set up a little altar right about here on the stage. We had about 80 students. Right now we have about 280. So those 80 students sat right in this little center section right here. And we had an offering time. And I told them, I said, I'm just going to let the God speak to you. I'm not going to try to coerce you. I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm not going to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just going to say, hey, listen to God. Next week we're going to have an offering in this altar right here. Come prepped, whatever God tells you. That was the night that I knew the Lord was up to something here. Because we had 80 students unprompted that brought $6,000 to this altar. And it was just enough to get us over the hump. We've never had excess here, ever. We always have just enough. It was a good night. It was a night they'll never forget. It was a night I won't forget. It was a bonding type of thing, and we did it with joy. Was it hard? Yep. But it was awesome. It was an awesome night. And so I'm just really feeling like right now would be a great point in our night. That's my intro. To just thank the voice of the Lord, who calls us all to something greater, who calls us all to something present, to something to give our lives to. And so I'm going to pray, have the band come up, and let's just talk to Jesus. That God, I want to thank you for being that voice, for calling all of those people and all of these people here to serve in this way at this place. I am asking, God, that you and your voice would continue to speak. And in this season of Thanksgiving, I'm thinking about next week is Thanksgiving already. I think it's such a great opportunity for us tonight to thank you for being the source of the whole thing, to be the voice that really unites us all. There is no way possible that any one person could unite the kind of movement that you have started at this place called Encounter at ISU. This is you. We want to thank you for it at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can be seated. It's appropriate that we sang that song, I Surrender All. It was something just at 5 o'clock today, I was talking with Travis and Adam. It's talking about baptism, and that's what it is. It's a surrender. It's not a complicated deal. And one thing that we've been very committed to here over the years is just seeing this be a simple deal. Not a fancy deal. Not a let me impress you and rock your socks off or whatever. But let me just show you how God is big and we surrender to him. And for the most part, I feel like people recognize that. I think they can see that from a mile away. And I've seen that and heard that phrase numerous times over the years. People look at us, look at this ministry, and they say, God is moving at Encounter. That seems to be just about everybody's assessment. But what I wait for is the next word. The very next word. Because when we are at our best, when God is speaking and people are listening, the phrase sounds like this: God is moving at Encounter, and I'm going to be a part of it. And I'm going to see how that person's doing at the campus house that seems like they're a little bit quiet. And I'm going to find somebody in my class that I know probably doesn't know Jesus and invite them to Encounter. And I'm going to invest in this place in a way that I haven't invested before, because this is where God's moving. When this place is at a plateau, and I wonder if we might be starting to get there. It's when people begin to think that this is just a thing. It's just a thing that's always been here. It's just a big group thing, and we just show up in Capon Auditorium, and yes, God moves there, but I don't really like the way the leadership works. God's really moving there, but I've got a few issues with whatever. If it's God's moving there and God does incredible things, and I'm inviting you into the and tonight, I'm inviting you in to the excitement that is Jesus, that is with him, to find the source of where that voice is coming from and to jump into that and find fellowship in other people and their stories and just be like, dang, this is what it's all about. the very first church building that God ever made was way before Jesus even came on the scene. It was the temple. And there was a really cool God moment where everyone kind of jumped in the end. And I just thought it would be fun for us to read that together. So I'm going to read that from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It says, "Furthermore, because my heart..." No, I think we'll go before that. Is there something before that? Or is that the first slide? That's the first slide. Okay. Okay. "Furthermore, because my heart is in this, in addition to and beyond what I have gathered, I am turning over my personal fortune of gold and silver for making this place of worship for my God." What ended up happening before that in that text was that he collected a bunch of gold, he collected a bunch of silver, he collected a bunch of jewels, he collected a bunch of stones, and he was like ready to build this, but then he says he gave of his own. And then he asked, is there more? We'll keep going. Is there another slide? We'll see what we got here. "And now, how about you?" So he's talking about what he personally gave. "Who among you is ready and willing to join in the giving? Ready and willing, the heads of families, the leaders of tribes of Israel, the commanders and the captains of the army, the stewards of kings' affairs, stepped forward and gave," what word is that? "Willingly." In other words, the board members and the staff members and the people that have gone before and the alumni and the supporters of this place outside of us and the local churches, they all stepped forward and they gave willingly. Is that it? We got one more. Okay. "And the people were full of a sense of celebration in all that giving, and given willingly, freely. King David was exuberant, and David blessed God in full view of the entire congregation." Do you see the excitement? Do you see the exuberance? Do you see what happens when everybody chimes into the same place? The same opportunity. Yeah, tonight's one of those nights where I always feel torn. Like, I feel like hard to talk about a night like this where I'm so excited about the people that have sacrificed something in the past and not challenge you. What about you? But here's the danger in that. The danger in that is that you're going to hear my voice. You're not going to hear the voice in your head from the Lord. And trust me, I've been talking to students for a long, long time. There is no good talk I could ever give that would make you feel compelled to give. So I'm not even going to try. Instead, I'm going to ask you to listen. It's the first thing I want you to do. I just want you, as you leave this place here tonight, listen for God to ask you that question, why not here? Why not here? You're probably going to be here for another semester. Some of you are leaving in a few weeks, but most of you are here for at least another semester, if not a couple more years. Why not here? Why not make this the place? I'm telling you, we have got big dreams, and I am not even joking. Big dreams about what's going to be next. I got a board meeting in about 3 or 4 weeks from now that they're going to sit down, and they've got dreams. We got dreams about expanding this place. It's about expanding this place on this campus, into dorms, into the different infrastructures of this campus, maybe into the sports world. But we've also got dreams about other campuses. We got big dreams of what God wants to do with this movement. We don't want to sit on it. We don't want it to plateau. We don't want to get stuck in a spot where we're just thinking this is a place that just has always been. Instead, we want to ask God for him to talk to you. Why not here? I want you to listen for that. And the way I want you to set that up is I want you to consider taking that sticker. Did you guys get one when it came in the place tonight? Redbird sticker. It's our first gift from President Dietz. Isn't that nice? I called over to his office this morning, and I was thinking about that story of how I looked out my window, and I saw a bumper sticker. I saw a bumper sticker of somebody that says, "This is my home. Why not here? This is my place." And it convicted me, and in that, God spoke to me. And I'm wondering if maybe you take that sticker and put it on your notebook or guitar case or something, just to remind you that you're all in here. To tell God, "I did, I heard you. I heard you say, why not here?" That's the first thing I want you to do. And I just thought of this phrase right now, so this is kind of off the cuff, but the second thing I want you to do is be an and not a but. Would you be an and? God's moving in this place, and fill in the blank. And when my board meets in 3 to 4 weeks, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that enough of you, and there's a lot of you that could, I know, heard that voice, and your and includes going on our app and saying, "I'm going to give something regular to this place." That regular giving adds up so much. It's something that the board can count on, and it's something at our board meeting in 3 to 4 weeks that will help us determine what our dreams actually can be. And I took a look at our number of people that are giving regularly online, and I know not all of you give online, and that's fine. So this is not a guilt thing, but I want to give you a number so that you get excited about the opportunity that's in there. There's about 20 of you that are giving consistently online right now. There's about 280 of us here tonight. What's God calling us to? What's next for us? I'm excited. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you would be with each one of these students. Thank you for bringing them here. Thank you for all the people that have made the way for them to be here. Thank you for giving me such a front row seat to see such amazing, beautiful, glorious miracles happen. Thank you for Travis and for Adam and for their lives that are changing right before our eyes. Thank you for the numerous people in this ministry that have found a home. Thank you that we're a light on this campus. Thank you that we're recognized by President Dietz. Thank you that we have an opportunity like no other time at no other place. Father, I am praying specifically that this group right here tonight would lay the foundation of the next miracle that's coming, the next thing that you want to do. And this is not from us, but us tuning our ears to your voice, to what you're calling us to what you're asking us to do. We're committing ourselves to you. Help us to listen intently as we leave this place tonight. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Love you all. Have a great night.